The Monday Play. The Trumpet Major by Thomas Hardy, dramatized by Michael Kittermaster, with Ian Holm, Gareth Thomas, Rosalind Ayres, and Christopher Benjamin.
The dragoons are come, Mrs. Garland. They're to encamp here, nearby the mill.
Yes, Anne and me have been watching from the window all day, Miller Loveday.
Oh, my son John's regiment is among them.
The dragoons look nicer than the foot or the German cavalry either.
Well, they're certainly a handsome body of men.
Oh, that they be, that they be. We can rely upon them to defend us against Boney. Faith, I didn't know they were coming. Thought maybe in the paper all the time. But old Squire Derriman keeps it so long that we'd never know things till they'd be in everybody's mouth.
Well, he too must be interested in the war, having a nephew in the yeomanry.
Oh, well, they'd be not regulars. Not like the dragoons. But John has not been home these 5 years.
What rank does he hold?
He's trumpet major, Miss Anne, and a good musician.
Oh, I doubt if Anne can remember him.
His brother Bob, I remember.
Ah, you'd remember him. He'd be the younger by 4 years or more.
Is he still at sea?
Aye, Widow Garland. He's first mate aboard the Pewit. But when he's signed off, it is hoped he'll settle down here and help with the mill. Now, what I've come particularly to ask you ladies is this. I'm planning a party for John now that he's home, and I'd like you to join us.
Oh, if so be possible, we'll be there. You'll tell us the day?
As soon as ever I've settled it with John. But I must warn it, will be rather untidy, you know, owing to my having no women folks in the house, and my man David is a poor dunder-headed fellow for getting up a feast. Poor chap. His sight is bad, that's true. And he's very good at making the beds and oiling the legs of the chairs, or I should have got rid of him years ago.
You should have a woman to attend to the house, Loveday.
Yes, I should, but... Well, it's time I was away to Jack. I'll let you know the day. Good day to you, ma'am.
Good day.
Miss Anne.
Do you think we ought to go, Mother?
Why not?
He'll only have men there except ourselves, won't he? And shall we be right to go alone among them?
He is our landlord. We live on his premises here at the mill. It would seem churlish to refuse. Well, think of all he does for us. And if the French were to land, as everyone says they will, we'd have to depend upon him for a wagon and horses. He's our only friend.
Yes, so he is. You had better go, Mother, and I'll stay at home. They'll all be men, and I don't like going.
Well, if you don't want to go, I don't. Well, perhaps as you're growing up, it would be better to stay at home this time. Your father was... Well, a painter is a professional man, certainly, and... Perhaps we should keep ourselves apart.
Why do you sigh, Mother?
Well, you're so prim and stiff about everything. Just because a few soldiers made you blush today, you refuse to set foot in our neighbour's house to welcome home his son.
Very well, we'll go.
No, I'm not sure now that we ought. Well, I did not promise, and there will be no trouble in keeping away.
How merry they are.
I think they're very noisy.
It is indeed a very lively party.
I believe you wishing you'd gone.
It would have been cheerful had we joined in.
Oh, Mother, you're quite a girl. Go and join them if you wish.
It is too late. We should have taken advantage of the invitation when it was made. Lonely people must accept what company they can get.
Or do without it altogether.
Well, that's not natural, and besides, I don't... Oh, see who that is, Anne.
Now, begging your pardon, ladies, I can't have this. It is unnatural that you two ladies should be biding here, and we under the same roof making merry without ye. Your husband, rest his soul, he would have been in with us long ago if he'd been in your place. I can take no nay from you, upon the honor. No, you and Maidie Anne must come in, if it be only for half an hour.
Oh, Anne, what do you say? Will you wait 1 minute, Mother, while I go and change my dress?
Run along, my dear, and look your best. I think perhaps this dress will look well enough. It's not often that I wear it when just sitting at home.
Indeed. It does look well, ma'am. You'll honor our humble party. I'm afraid there'll be villagers there, as well as the military. But they're learning to be brave defenders of their home and country, ma'am, as fast as they can master the drill. And they've worked for me off and on these many a year, so I thought you'd excuse it.
Oh, certainly, Miller Loveday.
And their wives be there as well, ma'am. I thought you and Maidie Anne would be glad to see other women folk there.
Oh, that's most thoughtful of you, Miller.
Here's John. Come help fetch him. Shall I ask him in till Miss Anne be ready?
Yes, of course.
Come in, John. Come on. This is John. John, now can you mind Mrs. Martha Garland?
Oh, very well indeed.
And I remember you too, John.
How is your little girl, ma'am?
She's well, but no longer a little girl.
What?
Oh, she's grown up now, as you can see for yourself. Here's my little girl.
Miss Garland, I not thought of it. I'd expect.
Welcome home, Trumpet Major. We're all glad to see you here.
Miss Garland, may I have the pleasure of escorting you to the party? Will you take my arm?
Thank you, Trumpet Major. I should be very happy.
And I will take yours, Miller Loveday.
I warned your mother how it would be, Miss Han. I'm afraid there'll be all sorts here tonight, not all of them soldiers.
Well, I see Corporal Tullidge is here, and Sergeant Burns. They both served in the army once, did they not?
Oh, yes, they served well and long in the force. Even now, they have a hard time of it up at the beacon in wet weather. So after giving them a meal in the kitchen, I just asked them in to hear the singing.
Won't you come and talk to my brother soldiers, Miss Anne? They'd be glad to meet you.
Oh, but there are so many of them. Would you excuse me, first of all, I said good evening to Corporal Tullidge?
Of course.
Good evening to you, Corporal Tullidge.
Ah, Miss Anne. I met you in the lane yesterday, but you didn't notice me. Well, 'tis the young bucks that get all the notice nowadays, and old folks is quite forgotten. I can mind well enough how young Bob Loveday used to lie in wait for you.
I shouldn't have thought of that. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, my hat? Well, I keep that on because my head was injured at Valenciennes. He doesn't hear you too well, miss. He thinks you were talking of his hat.
What did mean your hat, Mr. Tully?
He's got a silver plate let into his head. Haven't you, Carpin? Oh, a silver plate.
Silver plate.
I have heard, miss. But the way they modest his skull was a beautiful piece of workmanship. Perhaps the young woman would like to see the plate. Oh, 'tis a curious sight, Mrs. Ann. You don't see such a wound nowadays.
No, thank you, Cripplestraw.
Well, if the young woman don't want to see your head, maybe she'd like to hear your arm.
Aye.
Was your arm hurt, too?
You knocked to a pummy at the same time as my head.
Rattle your hand, Parker, and show her.
Oh,
it don't hurt you, bless you. Do it, Parker.
Oh, no, not a bit.
No, there's no life in they bones at all. They be as loose as a bag of ninepins.
Oh.
You can feel them quite plain, Mrs. Anne, if you'd like to. You'll undo your sleeves in a minute to oblige the lady, won't you, Corporal?
No, please not.
Oh, no. Come now, Corporal Tully. That's enough.
Oh,
you'll bribe the young lady.
Oh, well, come on then, Corporal. Wrap them for me over here.
I do not care for all this talk of war, Trumpet Major. Was Bonaparte really died this summer, do you think?
Oh, well.
What do you say, Tremlett?
He'll come, Miss Garland. They say he will cross in these flat-bottomed boats they have built for the purpose any day now when the weather's right for him.
Well, if they do come, we should be ready for him. Won't we, Jonesy? However soon he decide to come.
Oh, it'll be a long time before Boney will dare to take on us.
Yeah.
When the lawyers strive to heal a breach and parsons practice and then they preach, then Boney, he'll come pouncing down and march his men on London town. Rock and roar, da-la-la-la, rock and roar, da-la-la-la. When a rich men find their wealth a curse, and fill there with the poor man's purse. Then a bony he'll come pouncing down, and march his men on London town.
And maids what? Won't wed for modesty. Then, if only he'll come pouncing down and march his men on London town.
It's not a verse I choose to sing before ladies.
Nor I. It's young Derriman, if I'm not mistook.
For the yeomanry cavalry, Loveday.
What do you hear?
I was passing by and my ear was caught by the singing. I like singing. So, you come home, eh, Loveday?
Oh, we're encamped on the other side of the mill pond.
And this, if I'm not mistaken, you are Widow Garland's daughter.
You're not mistaken.
But can she not speak for herself, Loveday?
You are forward, sir.
I am well thought of hereabouts. You remember me, Miss Garland.
I have heard speak of you.
Well, come now. I've been here before. And I've seen you at the oar, where you've got to fetch the newspaper for your mother, I think.
I go there sometimes.
And do you know I shall inherit that place?
Indeed.
Well, what do you say to it?
I have nothing to say to it.
I shall watch for you there. I like a pretty girl. You know, Miss Garland, this isn't much of an affair, is it?
Huh. I'm surprised to hear you speak thus, Derriman. The more so since you were not invited.
Well, I'll not stay. I've several miles to ride before bedtime. Then I'll see you at the Orme, Miss Anne. Dash my wig if I don't. Good night to you.
And it's weeks now since we've seen the newspaper. Why won't you go over to Squire Derriman and see if he's finished with it?
I do not like to go over to the hall any more.
Why ever not?
The fear of meeting young Mr. Derriman.
Oh, how silly you are.
It is not silly. He lies in wait for me, and I do not enjoy his company.
So, we are to be deprived of the newspaper, are we?
What is so important that it cannot wait?
Well, there's news in it, the miller thinks, of the review that's to be held in honour of the king on Barrow Down.
Oh, I'll go if you insist.
I do. I promised to tell him all about it, and how can I do that when there's no newspaper?
Do you think it right, Mother, that you should be alone so much with the miller?
What can be wrong in it, seeing that we're both widowed?
Well, you've said before now that he's not quite of our class.
He has been civil and generous to us.
Well, it is your affair.
Yes. Will you go for the paper?
Very well, but I shall take the path round by the camp. In that way, there'll be less chance of my meeting with young Mr. Derriman again.
Garland! Hey there! Stop, my beauty!
Oh, what do you want, Mr. Derriman?
You.
But that is not nice of you.
Not nice? Well, then, perhaps I am not a nice sort of fellow. What do you think?
Well, I would prefer it if you do not walk with me, Mr. Derriman.
Do I worry you?
The path is narrow and you are driving me off it.
Well, then I can walk this side through the eye grass and the guilty cups. So, what think you of the yeomanry, Miss Anne?
I do not think of them at all.
We are a gallant lot, you know. Why do you laugh?
Your boastfulness.
I should like to know what she would do without us if the French were to drop in one of these days.
If a Frenchman came up to you, what would you do?
I should draw my sword, like this, and take him to the third guard, low point. Then coming back to the second guard.
But that would be taking care of yourself and not hitting at him.
Now, see here, my lovely. I may not be much at farming, but I can show as fine a soldier's figure on the esplanade at Budmouth as any man of cavalry, so don't you provoke me with that laughter.
And go away and don't pester me.
Oh, I know you women. Your go away means come on, now, doesn't it?
It means nothing of the sort. Oh, there's no bearing with you.
You may run from me, but you cannot cross that stream ahead without my help.
Away, you great blooding.
And the only reward I'll claim is a kiss.
Go away.
Hurry as you may, my fine lady. You cannot cross alone.
Oh, can't I? There's a plank kept here by the villagers for crossing.
What are you doing?
I crossed this way before you see, Mr. Derriman.
Dash my wig.
There. Now I'm across.
I'll catch you. See if I don't.
Well, I should chip up the plank if you try to cross.
You have not the strength.
Oh,
Well, I not.
Now you're in. I warned you, Mr. Derriman.
Start it off.
Miss Garland.
Oh, Trumpet Major, I didn't see you.
You've been running.
A little.
What brings you round by this road?
Oh, I come from the hall and I wish to avoid somebody.
Oh.
And you?
Oh, I sometimes use this road from the camps.
Are those your trumpeters we hear blowing so early in the morning?
I hope they do not disturb you.
Oh, not at all. They play very prettily, I think. Did you teach them how to do it?
Well, that is my work.
It must require much skill to get them to begin and finish together so exactly at one time. It's like one throat doing it all.
Oh, it comes with practice.
How came you to be a trumpeter, Mr. Loveday?
When I was a little boy, my father set me to keep the birds off a barley field. He gave me an old horn to frighten them with. I learned to blow it. And after that, he bought me a clarinet. And when I could play that, I learned to play the serpent. So, when I enlisted, I was picked for training as a trumpeter.
Will you forever be a soldier?
Oh, well, there is some talk of me or Bob working at the mill, so... Well, it depends. Did you know that clock strikes in G sharp?
You can tell the key?
I used to notice the note when I was a boy. I fear you don't think much of the rank of trumpet major, Miss Anne.
Oh, I'm sure it's very respectable.
Oh, I'm glad you should say so, for... It is given out by the King's command that trumpet majors are to be considered respectable. And, of course, someday I shall be in rather a better position than I am at present. In short, Mr. Sam, may I pay court to you in the hope that you may make me the happiest of men? I do not mean yet, but when peace is proclaimed and all is smooth and easy again. I can't put it any better. There is more to be explained.
It's most awkward. My mother would object.
Oh, no. No, she leaves it up to you.
Have you spoken to her?
Well, I thought it would not be honourable to act otherwise, and she did not object.
Well, my mother is so entirely ignorant of a soldier's life. Well, I cannot listen to you any more readily for what she may say. So, do not let us say any more about this now. Mother, why did you not tell me you'd spoken with John Loveday regarding me?
Oh, I forgot having done so.
Oh, I do not understand you. Only the other day you were singing the praises of Mr. Derriman on account of his being a gentleman and inheriting at the hall, but now you seem to wish to encourage Mr. Loveday. You are nothing but a weathercock.
Well, things are different now.
How?
Miller Loveday has asked me to marry him. And if I were to accept, then I reasoned it out that the family could be doubly united.
Will you accept?
Well, I am considering it.
Well.
Anyway, he's invited us to accompany him to the review on Barrow Down. Now, shall he come?
I do not think so.
All Wessex will be there.
I may come. I may not. I do not know.
Well, now, Miss Anne, that was a sight worth travelling to see, weren't it?
Yes, Anne, aren't you glad you let yourself be persuaded? To see the King and Queen. Oh, did you notice the muslin shawl she was wearing?
Yes, Mother.
Oh, wasn't it beautiful? And the feather in the King's hat.
And it was my son John. What play to him. Oh, there's fewer more consequence in a regiment than a trumpeter. And here he is. John, it's a day to make a father proud of his son, it is.
Oh, I think we played not badly.
Oh, I think you played beautifully. And you look so fine in your uniform.
Did you really take the trouble to find me? That was very good of you.
Oh, her eyes followed you everywhere. Well, of course I looked at the dragoons most, and when I looked at them, my eyes naturally fell upon the trumpeters. That is all.
I would like to see if we can watch the royal family depart. Can we climb to the top of that barrow and see if we can get a better view?
Oh, why,
all means.
Oh, Mother, I've seen enough. Why don't you stay on and I'll return home and prepare the supper?
Oh, then let me accompany you part of the way. I have to return to the camp, but it's a powerful big crowd for a young girl to be alone in. The road is like a fair.
Thank you, but I would prefer to be on my own.
Nonsense, Anne. We won't be far behind you. We'll catch you up.
Very well, Mother.
Come on, Miller. This way.
It's been a great day for me to play before the king. I'm glad that you were there to hear it.
It was an excitement for me to see him. How long do you think he'll be staying in Budmouth?
Who can tell? There are those who'd be happier if he was further away from Boney. But you know, the other day he ventured out to sea so far that he was nearly caught by some of the evening's cruisers.
No.
He's anxious to fight Boney single-handed.
Oh, what a good, brave king he is. Yeah.
Miss Anne, you know that thing I asked you about the other day?
We won't speak of it.
You don't dislike me?
Oh, no. How could I dislike the son of Miller Loveday, who's always been such a good friend to us?
But I'm not worthy of the daughter of a genteel, professional man. That's what you mean.
But there's something more than worthiness required in such cases, you know.
Something more?
Well, since you will make me speak of it, I mean the woman ought to love the man.
Hmm. Well, if it were all right on that point, would you mind the other?
How can I say when I don't know? Please, don't let us talk about it anymore.
Your mother said...
John,
mother...
John! Hold there! What? Hey, here be a letter come from your brother.
Huh?
It's been waiting at the post office for days, and I never went. Look, John, I'm afraid it's bad news. Will you read it and tell me the worst?
It's not bad news, Father. He's coming on to be married.
Oh, my Lord.
To be married?
Yeah. And as far as I can understand, he'll be here by Saturday.
Indeed. And who is he going to marry?
That I don't know. The woman's a stranger.
Yeah, come, give me the letter. Do you hear the news, Widow Garland?
What?
Yeah, Bob is to be wed.
Oh, that's good news. Who is the young lady?
Her name be Matilda Johnson, and he met her in Southampton. She's going to come. She's coming here so that she can be a guest in the house before the actual ceremony.
And he'll be home before the end of the week.
Well, he could be there by now. The letter's dated over a fortnight ago. Now, whatever should they think if they'd come home and there's only David there to make them welcome? Will you come with me, Mrs. Garland, and you, Miss Henry? It'd be hard for us men to know how to greet a young lady.
Oh, of course. We'll come and do anything we can to make the place ready for her. Won't we, Anne?
Of course we will.
Oh, come along, then. We must make haste. If we'd have known he'd be coming, Bob, we'd never gone up to Barrow Down.
Did you not receive my letter?
Why, it came but today. I'm sorry, Miss Johnson, we was not here to greet you.
Oh.
Not to be here to greet my son's bride.
Oh, pray, think no more of it, Mr. Loveday. Can I give you some more tea, Miss Johnson?
Thank you. Oh, what a lovely place you have here, Mr. Loveday. And also very countrified.
Oh, well, after tea, I'll show you all around.
Matilda's tired from a long journey, Father, and will wish to rest.
Oh.
You are from Southampton, Miss Johnson?
I have resided there of late.
But you do not come from there?
My aunt resides there. She's widowed and was left a great deal of money by her husband, and I lived with her for some while, my parents being dead.
Oh, I understood you were in lodgings there.
Well, my aunt had suddenly to leave, and I moved there temporarily.
Oh.
Matilda has relatives in Casterbridge.
Oh, really? What is their name?
If you would excuse me, I am somewhat tired after my long journey. Hmm. I should like to rest.
Oh, I will show Miss Johnson the room.
Oh, thank you.
Is this all you have with you?
My things are to follow later. I have not room to bring my many dresses.
Well, as soon as ever you're rested, Miss Johnson, we've prepared a little celebration for you both. My son, John, the trumpet major, has promised to come across from the camp.
Oh, I look forward to meeting him.
If you follow me, it's this way, Miss Johnson.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Father, She's an excellent body, don't you think? She'll make a first-rate wife.
I hope so, my boy.
Oh, come now, admit it. She's a real charmer. A miracle of gentle breeding.
Oh.
How long have you known her, Captain Bob?
Well, 'tis less than a month. But I could see in the twinkling of an eye that she was the girl for me. Well, I know a woman well enough when I see her, having been so much about the world. Begging your pardon, Miss Anne. Now, of all the girls I met, she is the genteelest. So I chose her.
How many did you choose her out from?
Well, she was the only one I happened to know in Southampton, that's true. But it would have been all the same if I'd known 100.
I see.
Poor soul, she seems worn out. Hmm.
Mother, it's time we return to our side of the house.
Oh, very well, dear.
Oh, one moment, I bought a present for you.
Oh?
Well, you see, I have these two shawls here, and one of them I'm going to give to Miss Johnson. But the other one I've got no use for at all, so will you take it, Miss Anne?
Thank you, but I really don't want it and couldn't take it.
Oh, but do have it. It's so pretty and will suit you. And there's another reason why you ought to have it. It never came into my head till this moment that I used to be your beau in a humble sort of way. Faith, so I did. And we used to meet at places sometimes, didn't we? That is, when you were not too proud. And once I gave you, or somebody else, a bit of my hair in fun.
It was somebody else.
Ah, yeah, perhaps it was.
Oh, come on, don't tease him. You kept that curl of hair for years.
You are mistaken, Mother.
Well, it was you I used to meet, or try to, I'm sure. Oh, take the shawl out of compliment to those old times.
Yes, why not, dear?
Give it to your bride, Captain Bob. You'd better bestow your gifts where you bestow your love. Come, Mother.
But you'll be joining us for our little celebration, won't you?
Of course, Miller, of course. Just leave it to me.
Let me fill your glass, Miss Johnson.
Miss Johnson seems quite recovered from her journey, Captain Loveday.
Captain Loveday? Not yet, I'm afraid. You once used to call me Bob, Miss Anne.
Do you think she will settle to the life of a miller's wife overcome?
She'll have to it quick enough. Ah, here's Jack!
Oh, Jack! We've been waiting you to drink a toast, Jack.
I'm sorry, I was delayed at the camp after the review. Good to see you. Well.
Oh, Tilly, my dear, this is my brother John, Trumpet Major. And very smart with it, is he not, in that uniform? What is it, my dear?
I'm unwell. I'm quite overwhelmed by the heat.
Oh, my dear, what's the matter?
I will take her to her room.
No, I'll carry her.
Oh, dear.
Who is there?
John Loveday.
What do you want?
To speak with you.
You cannot come in.
Then you shall meet me by the mill pond.
I cannot.
If you do not, then I will rouse the others and tell them everything.
Oh. I will meet you.
Miss Johnson?
What do you want?
Do you not know? You recognize me, did you not?
For Bob's brother?
We have met before.
Where?
I think you know.
I do not recall.
Then let me remind you of the particulars. Wintoncester.
Wintoncester?
Falcon Tavern. Captain Bowboy, Captain Jolly of the Dragoons.
Very well. Yes. I do remember.
Oh. So you deceived them?
No.
Making yourself out to be a lady of means. The rich aunts in Southampton and relatives at Casterbridge. But when Bob wrote, I did not associate the name.
Oh, you'll not tell him.
My brother's an easy-going sort of fellow, and sometimes he's simple also. I'll not have him deceived in this way.
I did not deliberately deceive him.
You did not tell him about yourself.
Oh, you are cruel.
Now listen, I'm not a vindictive sort of chap, and this is what I've decided. There's an address in Budmouth that I know of.
Oh, no.
Now you pack what few necessities you need, and I'll have horses ready in an hour and accompany you there. Yes. Sooner done the better.
It is gone midnight.
The moon is up. It's a warm night. It will be an easy enough ride.
I cannot do it.
But then I shall rouse the household now. I shall make such a stir, madam, that the whole of Overcombe shall hear it.
I have no money.
I can find something to pay for your lodging for a week or so.
But why can it not wait until you see?
Just go and come in. It's that lout young Derriman. Go back into the shadows. I wouldn't wish him to see us together. Though it's doubtful he can see anything in his state. But when he's passed, he'll go. All right.
But why cannot this wait until tomorrow?
Because it cannot.
Oh, I beg you.
Wasting time. Do you agree or not?
Very well. I agree.
Master! Master!
Come on,
dear.
I'm busy with the car.
Master! Come you here! She's gone!
Who's gone?
Miss Johnson.
Somewhere.
Gone? Well, she didn't come down for breakfast. Master Bob said to call her, and I went. Seeing the doors open, I looked in and found her. Gone?
Oh, Lord bless
Miller! Miller! Have you heard what has happened?
Hey, no, Bob. What's all this, my boy?
She's gone, Father.
What do you mean, gone?
I searched everywhere. At the Parsons, the Clarks, the Tampa Dragoons, the Hussars, everywhere.
But she must be somewhere hereabouts.
Nowhere.
Oh, dear.
It is so lonely to cruise for her all by myself. Would you not come with me and cheer the way, Miss Anne?
Where shall we search?
Oh, in the holes of rivers, you know, and down wells and in quarries and over cliffs and like that. Your eyes might catch the loom of any bit of a shawl or bonnet that I should overlook, and it would do me a real service. Please do come.
Of course I will. I'm worn out. I must sit down.
Well, sit here. Let me help you. She's run away. There can be no other explanation.
Perhaps.
Now, didn't you think highly of her, Miss Garland?
Oh, yes, very highly.
She was really beautiful. No nonsense about her.
None. Her beauty was thoroughly ripe. Not too young. We should all have got to love her. Mm. What can have possessed her to go away?
I don't know. Upon my life, I shall soon be drove to say I don't care. Oh, Miss Garland, give me your hand.
What are you doing?
No, just one kiss, Miss Garland. Oh. I am so distraught.
Oh, get up, Mr. Loveday. I never heard of such a thing.
But
I won't go an inch further with you, sir. It's altogether too bare-faced.
No, upon my life, I didn't mean it. I do love her best, indeed I do, and I don't love you at all. I'm not so fickle as that. I merely, just for the moment, admired you as a sweet little craft. And that's how I came to kiss your hand.
It's too bad of you.
But you know, Miss Garland, tis like this. When you come ashore after having been shut up in a ship for 18 months, and women folks seem so new and nice that you can't help liking them, one and all, in a body. And so your heart is apt to get scattered. to yawr a bit, as we call it. But of course, I think of poor Matilda most, and shall always stick to her.
I'm glad to hear that. Very glad. But I won't look for her anymore.
Oh, but...
No, I don't care to look for her. And my headaches, I'm going home.
So am I.
No, you should go on looking for her if you love her. Good morning, sir.
Jack!
Yes? She's nowhere to be found.
I know, she's gone and I'm thankful.
What?
I'm at the bottom of it.
You, John?
Yes. And if you will listen, I'll tell you why. You remember what happened when I came into the room last night? As she turned colour and nearly fainted away. Well, that was because she knew me.
You'd better speak plain with me.
For once, Bob, I must say something that will hurt me a good deal. She's not a woman who could possibly be your wife, and so she's gone.
You sent her off?
I did.
John, tell me right through. Tell me.
Perhaps I'd better.
Miss Garland!
Oh, Mr. Derriman, is there some news of Miss Johnson?
Nothing, except that I must be grateful to her for making you deign to speak to me. I know now why you treat me as you do. I wasn't so much intrigued last night that I didn't see what was going on.
No idea what you can be talking of.
I saw a trumpet major Loveday courting you down by the pond. And kissing you under the trees. Oh, I saw you.
Indeed, but you couldn't have done.
Well, I saw someone there with the trumpet major. Who else but you lives in this house?
I tell you, it was not I.
Well, it weren't your mother. It was scarcely likely to be the sailor's bride. I know it was you.
Oh, you're merely trying to make mischief, and I'll hear no more of it.
How can you do it, Miss Garland? When I, who have enough money to buy up all the Lovedays, would gladly come to terms with you. What a simpleton he must be to pass me over for him.
Please go.
Now you're angry because I call you a simpleton. I mean, misguided. Misguided rosebud.
Mr. Derriman.
All right on. But I'll have you yet. No trumpet major's going to win you from me.
It speaks only from malice to make trouble between me and John. I did hear voices last night. I thought she had a tryst with Bob, but perhaps Miss Johnson was meeting someone else.
John's convinced me, Father. She's left. Gone. That's all there is to it.
Ah, she's made great fools of us. I thought you'd have had more sense, Bob.
And don't say anything against her. It was a sorry haul, and there's an end to it. Mm.
Well, my boy, I've hit upon a plan.
For what?
Oh, to get us out of this awkward corner.
I don't follow your drift, Father.
I mean about the victuals.
How can you talk about victuals at such a time?
Well, my boy, it isn't right to see all that food and drink wasted, and the villagers would be expecting a wedding and a feast. I felt more ashamed than I care to own at the thought of how they'd laugh at us when they hear what's happened. So I've resolved to take this step to stave it off, so to speak.
What step is that?
Well, to cut a long story shorter, I talked it over with Mrs. Garland, and she pitied me so much for having had the house cleaned in vain and laid in provisions to waste that it's put her into the humor to agree.
I'm no clearer as to your meaning.
Why, to marry me. So we mean to, we mean to do it right off at once. Before the pies and cakes get moldy.
So that's it.
We don't want to hurt our feelings, but he wouldn't want the Vittles to get blue-binning now, would he?
No, Father, I wouldn't want that.
Miss Anne, may I speak with you just for one moment?
Well, Trumpet Major?
We're going away.
Oh, where?
The regiment is ordered to Exonbury.
When?
Tomorrow.
Well, the village will seem quiet without your trumpets.
Yeah. Before we leave, I wish to ask you if there may be some hope for me.
There's something I wish to ask you, Trumpet Major.
What is that?
Do you not find it curious that your brother should have made so little effort to find Miss Johnson?
He may have thought there was little purpose in searching further.
Yes, indeed.
I do not follow you.
I think you do.
Well, you speak in riddles, and these last few weeks you've been very distant with me.
Cannot you guess why?
No. Well, Miss Anne, may I write to you?
To do so would imply an understanding between us.
Well, you once gave me leave to home. Now that my father and your mother are married, we are almost of one family, as you might say.
As you might say, Trumpet Major.
Shall you come to see us all?
Perhaps. I really cannot say.
Oh, it is sad to see them leave.
John says they may return next year.
Ah,
Anne, you did not say goodbye to John.
The opportunity did not present itself, Mother.
Oh, I see, dear.
So, you're leaving. Now there's a chance for me.
There is no chance for you, Mr. Derriman.
Why not, pray?
Because there's another left.
Who?
Please go, Mr. Derriman. Mother, wait for me.
Here, Cribble Straw.
Hey,
come here.
Yes, Mr.
Have you seen anybody hanging about at the mill?
No. There's only the miller's son.
He's gone.
I mean his son, the sailor.
His son, the sailor? Damn, his son, the sailor.
Oh, Miss Garland, I've something to show you. Something I've made for you.
Really? Oh, how kind of you. Where is it?
Just here by the bridge. Wait one moment. There, Miss Garland. I made it on purpose for you.
Wonderful. How came you to think of such a thing?
I don't know exactly. I've never made one in my life till now.
And how did you make it play? What is it exactly?
But it's a sort of harp, and the breeze from the mill makes it sing. I damped it with a cloth so I could show it to you.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Captain Bob. Its music will sing me to sleep at night.
Good morning, Miss Garland. Did you sleep well?
Oh, I heard the noise of the harp, but its sound was almost too touching and affected me painfully. You are poetical, Captain Bob, but it's too sad.
Oh, then I'll take it away. It certainly is too sad. I thought so myself.
Then how came you to think of making such a thing?
Well, to tell the truth, Miss Anne, I didn't think of it. Oh, I made it, certainly, but it was my brother John who asked me to do it just before he went away. Well, he's been gone so many months now, and I'd forgotten. Then I remembered. He's very musical, you know, and he said it would interest you. He didn't ask me to tell you, but perhaps I ought to have, not taken the credit to myself.
Yes, perhaps you should.
Shall I take it away?
I think it would be as well.
Well, you know I'd do anything to please you, Miss Garland. I always think first of what would give you happiness.
Oh, not quite always, Captain Bob. There have been times when you've quite forgotten all about me.
Oh, but I hadn't seen you then for so very long. I mean, consider how many years.
Oh,
dear Anne. Think of when we were children. You were a queen to me then, and so you are now and always.
Oh, very pretty. And only 6 weeks since Miss Johnson left.
But the Zounds, don't say anything about that. It was a sudden sort of thing, you know.
Yes. You are very easily impressed by new faces. And that gives me a bad opinion of you. Yes, a bad opinion.
Oh, dear Miss Garland, I know I have many faults, but I'll try to mend them. Won't you let me earn your gracious favour? May I walk with you to church, Miss Anne?
If you do not walk too close.
You said when I asked you before that I might walk with you.
I think it would be better if you walk behind me, Captain Bob.
Oh, I hope that my behaviour about Matilda, I mean in forgetting you a while, that, well, it would not make you wish to keep me always behind you.
Why I am so earnest not to be seen with you is that I may appear to people to be independent of you. Knowing what I do of your weaknesses, I can do no otherwise.
You hit me hard. If ever I do win you, I'm sure that I shall have fairly earned you.
You are not what you once seemed to be. I don't quite like to let myself love you.
Hmm?
Oh, they're drilling by the church. Since the service has not started, shall we watch?
If you wish.
Why, you're all a crooking in.
Which way?
Dress! No, dress! Now, I hope you'll have a little patience, for I've only been in the army 3 weeks myself, and we're all liable to mistakes.
Ah, we may, that may.
Now, tension the whole.
Tension the whole.
Then, pose Firelocks! Please, Sergeant, what must we do that haven't got no firelocks?
Well, you must do nothing at all but think how you'd pose them if you had them.
Oh.
Now then, cock firelocks! Present! Very good. Very good. Except that some of you were a little too soon, and the rest a little too late.
That was me.
Upon the order, hand your cartridge, seize it, and bring it with quick motion to your mouth. Bite the top well off, and don't swallow so much of the powder as to make you halt and spit instead of attending to your drill.
Well, if you can be, you can know, Sergeant.
And what's that man saying in the rear rank?
Please, sir, this Anthony Cripplestraw wanted to know how he's to bite off his cartridge when he having a tooth left in his hand.
Why, what's your genius for war? Yes. Hold it up to your right-hand man's mouth and let him nip it off for you.
Ah, thank you, Sergeant.
Well, what have you to say, Private Tramlett? Don't you understand English?
Ask your pardon, Sergeant, but what must we infantry of the Awkward Squad do if Boney comes before we get our file off?
You take a pike, like the rest of the incapables. You'll find a store of them ready in the corner of the church
tower. Oh, dear, Bob.
Now,
if only we lived further from the coast. What shall we do if Boney lands?
We have 60,000 regulars. Militia reserve. With all the volunteers, there's nothing to fear. Though sometimes I fear that poor John may be killed.
Why he?
He's sure to be among the first that love to face the invaders, and the trumpeters get picked off.
There's the same chance for him as for the others.
Yes, yes, the same chance, such as it is. You've never liked John since that affair of Matilda Johnson, have you?
What has that to do with it?
Well, as it's a ticklish time for him, would it not be worthwhile to make up any differences you have with him?
I have nothing to make up.
I own I was angry at the time with him, but since John's been gone, I found out more of his meaning and of what he really had to do with that woman's flight. Did you know that he got her to go away?
Yes, and I blame him for it. Surely you must. What else could it have meant but that he wanted it for himself?
Well, Anne, dear, it's not a story that's fitting shall be told from my lips. You must ask your mother to give you the truth. But when you know it, you'll no longer be able to blame him.
Now that I have learned the truth of the matter, I find all justice, all rectitude on your side, John, and all impertinence, all inconsiderateness on mine. I am so much convinced of your honour in the whole transaction that I shall for the future mistrust myself in everything and take an hour's time for consideration before I say that I differ from you. If I have lost your friendship, I have only myself to thank for it, but I sincerely hope that you can forgive.
Father,
wake
up!
Miller,
wake up!
What is it? There's a light from the beacon. The French must have landed.
Oh,
what's that?
They say Boney is here.
Oh, mercy on us. Where are they?
Down Budmouth Way.
Mother, what is it?
The beacons are fired, Miss Anne.
Oh, what did he do?
And the women must have got the king's beer as arranged. Bob Rouse, David. Tell him to put the horse in the gig.
Yes, Father.
Molly shall travel with you. I must assemble with the company.
And you, Bob, what shall you do?
Find what weapon I can and fight as best I may.
Oh, Bob, I'm afraid you'll be killed and my mother and John and your father and all of us.
My dear little hat, that will not happen. We shall drive him into the sea after a battle or two on land. I only wish to God I'd offered myself as a sea fencible a long time back. That's where the real fighting will happen.
Anne, go and get dressed at once. Oh, I will. Oh, God bless you, Bob.
Oh, Bob, tell David he's to assemble as soon as the gig is ready.
Right, Father.
I've saddled your horse, Maester Derryman.
There's no worry.
The beacon's before you. You must leave at once.
It's possibly a false alarm.
That it is not. I see them. And listen to them bells. You may depend on it, sir. Boney's come. Oh, thank God my duty as a local don't require me to go to the front. But only valiant men like ye.
If Bonner could only see now, he'd know too well there is nothing to be got from such a determined, skillful officer but blows and musket balls.
Yes, yes. Crippleshaw, if I ride off to Budmouth and meet him, all my training will be lost. I mean, no skill is required as a forlorn hope.
See, now that's the point, sir. You would outshine them all and be picked off at the very beginning as a too dangerous brave man.
But if I stay here and urge on the faint-hearted ones or get up into the turret stair by the gateway and pop off at the invaders through the loophole, I shouldn't be so completely wasted, should I?
You would not, Mr. Dedham. But as you were going to say next, the fire in your veins won't let you do that.
But there's another sort of fire in my veins too, Cripplestraw, that makes me draw back. 'Tis love. I must go and look for her.
A woman, sir?
Oh, I didn't want to confess it, but 'tis a woman. Strange that I should be drawn so entirely against my natural wish to rush at them.
There's the unhappy fate of being smit with the eyes of a woman, and you are unmanned. Then go to the defense of your adorable lady. Think of what you owe her at this terrible time. So cast off that wish to rush to Budmouth and go where your missus is defenseless and alone.
I will, Cripplestraw.
Yeah.
Now you put it like that. I know our plans are to go to Kingsbere with her mother.
Ah, then you go you now there and hide with her.
Off there, my good man.
Good evening.
Which troop are you?
The elector's men.
Where are the French landed?
The French? It is the false report. Good enough.
Dash my wig. So that's how it is. Now for my little Anne. Hello. Hey, Noakes! Stubbs! Comrades!
Oh, is it? Oh, it's you, Fester. Oh.
Where have you been? I've been waiting for you.
Well, what's the news?
Have you not heard? Boney is here with his tens of thousands.
What?
And we had a right to meet him, sword in hand.
Me not heard?
No. Oh, Noakes. Fie. You begin to look pale, man.
Hey, perhaps you look pale if you had a wife and family depending on you.
I'll take three frog-eating Frenchmen, single-handed.
They have as good swords as you. You'll soon find.
If they were three times armed, I'd attempt him 3-1. Spare on, comrades!
That's when you get into battle, Derriman, and see what it's like. Your courage will cool down a little.
I shall be bayoneted first. Now let's rally, and on! I'll take this way, and follow!
In a mighty hurry.
That ain't the road to Budmouth he took, be it?
No, it ain't.
Let's ask that Prussian over there.
Oh, hi. Here, Anna Marion.
Good evening.
Which way are the French?
French? There is no French. It's an false alarm.
Oh.
I tell your friend so. Good morning.
Sure, that's Fester. That is a liar and a cheat.
Come, let's find him, the hero.
Aye, we'll beat him black and blue in the flat of our blades if ever we catch up with him.
Is wrong with the wheel of the car.
It's too awful, Mrs. Loveday. I said to David when I last did, I told him that wheel too awful, something terrible, and will come loose one of these days if we don't
open to with it in this condition.
Do you think it's safe to go on, Mother?
We cannot turn back now with this risk of being caught by the French.
How much further is it? It must be at least another 5 miles of King Bear, Miss Anne. Oh, Nick! Oh, jump on! It's the wheel! Mrs. Loveday, you all right?
Yes. Anne, are you hurt? Molly helped me with her. She's stunned.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. What should we do, Mom?
Oh, she's recovering.
Oh, what happened?
You were thrown. Must have fainted with the shock.
I'm bruised all over. There's the shepherd's cottage there, Mom. We could carry her there.
Come on, then. Let us do so.
There's no one here.
Whoever it is that lived here has gone with the volunteers, most likely. Lie her down there.
I'm better now, Mother.
You must be still.
Well, what are we to do now?
Well,
I shall go for help.
Where?
To Kingsbere with the horse.
You cannot go on alone.
Oh, no. How else are we to get help?
But then Molly must go with you.
Aye. Then will you bolt the door when we are gone?
Yes, Mother.
Now, it may be some hours before we find help.
But I'll rest upstairs.
Very well.
Who is it?
Me! Open up!
Oh, Mr. Derriman, how came you here?
I saw the gig overturned and your mother and the servants riding away.
Then why did you not offer to help them?
I guessed you might be within.
I do not understand you.
Will you not come down and let me in?
No.
Do you not trust me?
No, Mr. Derriman.
The French have landed, you know. It's no use lurking inside there. Either open that door.
I am not.
That's my way. How can I speak with you like this? With you at the window and me outside? I'm going to ask you a question.
Then ask it from where you are.
This is about a serious matter.
What matter?
Whether you will accept my hand. Or do you wish me to throw myself at your feet? Come, madam, you are playing with me. Very well. If you don't answer, I will come up there.
We cannot climb up.
I know where there is a ladder.
Oh, you would not.
Well, I give you my word, I would. You've tried me beyond endurance. One kiss but once would be enough from you. Now I have 40, whether you will or no.
Oh, dear.
If you do not open up, I shall fetch the ladder.
I do not believe there's a ladder there.
You shall see if there is not. There is one below the cornrick. Indeed, I shall fetch it now.
Oh, what can I do? His horse. I could escape on that. Is there anyone to help me? I can hang on no longer. Oh, you. Please. Stop him. Stop him.
Anne. Oh, my dearest Anne.
Oh, Mr. Derriman, never. Why, Trumpet Major, how came you here?
Are you right?
Oh, I'm bruised only.
Will you let me help you? There.
Where are the French?
Well, there are no French. It's all been a rumor. The alarm was groundless.
How came you to be so providentially here?
We landed at Budmouth this morning. I heard of the false alarm and was on my way to see how you'd borne the fright. But what happened?
Oh, we were on our way to Kingsbere and then we had an accident and then... But I cannot tell you.
Festus Derriman's at the bottom of it, isn't he? I know it was his horse. Go on, tell me, Anne.
Yes, he frightened me. Well, my mother and the maid had gone for assistance and left me to rest in a cottage. I'd been shaken by the accident. And Mr. Derriman, he besieged me there. He tried to force his way in. I had to escape from him, so I stole his horse.
Now, I'll see you home. We're not far away. And then I'll deal with that scoundrel.
Oh, please, be careful. One day he'll succeed at the hall, and it would be bad for the mill if there were enmity between you.
Don't fear. He won't dare say anything about it. Anne, I came to look for you because of that dear, sweet letter you wrote.
Yes, I did write you a letter. It was only because I was sorry I blamed you.
I'm almost glad you did, since if you had not, the letter would not have come. Oh, I read it 50 times a day.
It is not worthy of such attention. I meant nothing by it. Oh, please, don't get into any danger on my account.
I'm not likely to get into danger with a fellow such as Festus Derriman. I'll see you soon, my dear.
Derriman! Derriman!
Derriman! Wait,
you scoundrel! Oh, who's there? Is that you, dear Anne? Oh, let me kiss you. Yes, I will.
Shut your
mouth, you pitiful blockhead. Oh, I'll teach you genteeler manners to persecute a young woman that way.
Say, oh!
You...
Stop damning you, isn't it? Oh, ah, dash me! I didn't want to hurt you, sir. It is Loveday, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, my name's Loveday. And you'll know where to find me since we can't finish this tonight. Pistols or swords. Whichever way you like, my boy.
Stop!
Take that!
Stop!
And that!
Oh, God!
So that you may not forget to call upon me.
Ah, you shall not take such liberties with old Squire German's nephew. You dirty miller's son. You flail worm. You smite the corn. I'll call you out tomorrow morning and have my revenge.
I'll wait to hear from you.
Oh, my head. Oh, Lord!
What's happening here?
Oh, fetch me some more ale.
Oh, yes, Mr. Jerry.
Oh, I'll have you, Robert Loveday, dirty sailor. But how? Oh, you know, the press gang are here in Budmouth. I'll have him pressed for service aboard ship, that's it. And once he's at sea, the coast will be clear for me again.
Oh, my God, what a night. But there are the lights of the mill. And in a minute, I shall see my Anne. Here she is, come to look for me. And to think I doubted that I could ever win her love.
Bob? Oh, Bob, I'm so glad.
Oh, my dear, I look for you everywhere. Thank God you're safe.
And if it wasn't for me, he'd be married to another. But she loves him, and there's an end to it.
Jack?
Yes, Bob?
I want a word with you.
Well, what is it?
You're not happy, are you? In spite of all you pretend... I watched you just now reading a letter. It was an Anne's writing, wasn't it?
Well, what makes you think that?
I'm terribly sorry I'd done wrong.
Oh.
In courting our little Anne. Well, you see, John, she was in the same house with me, and somehow or other I made myself her beau. But I've been thinking that perhaps you had first claim on her. And if so, Jack, I'll make way for her. I don't care for her much, you know. Well, not so very much. Anne can give her up quite well. There's nothing serious between us at all.
Oh, Bob. You're mistaken. Oh, well, when first I saw her, I admired her, and... I admire her now, and like her. I like her so well that I should be glad to see you marry her.
But I've seen you looking sad, as if you were in love.
I am in love, Bob. But not with Anne.
But then with whom?
One of the actresses at the theatre in Budmouth. Now, but don't say anything of it. I don't want it known.
John's behaviour has been so strange since he returned.
Aye. And I know the reason for it.
What?
He's up to the gunwale in love. If we must try to help him on in it. He's lost his heart to one of the play actresses at Budmouth.
Oh.
And I think she slights him. Do you know, Anne, I half thought it was you John cared about. It was a weight off my heart when he said he didn't.
Did he say he didn't?
Yes, he assured me himself that the only person in the hold of his heart was this play actress.
Well, how I should like to see her.
So should I.
I would rather it had been one of our own neighbour's girls whose birth and breeding we know of, but still, if that's his taste, I hope it will end well for him. Couldn't we get him to go to the theatre with us? And then we could watch him and find out the right one.
Oh, yes, why not? I'll speak to Jack and arrange it.
Time has come for Iphigenia to find the miracle she brought upon my mind.
Don't talk to me.
This must be the lady. Look at him, Bob. He's much agitated. It's Matilda.
Finish your nonsense.
Matilda, an actress.
Confound it. So is she the woman of his choice after all?
Oh, it's a dreadful thing. Oh, come, Bob, let us leave. I can bear to stay no longer.
Robert Loveday.
He's not here.
That information.
Bob.
What is it?
The press are come.
Where?
Downstairs. Talking to your father.
I felt they'd come. Who told them I was here?
Oh, there's no time to talk about now. Now, come, hurry. Look, you get out the window.
Where should I go?
Well, you can hide beneath the bridge. They're not locked there. I'll come to you when they've gone through the village. Bob.
I'm here.
They're gone.
They'll return, you know. Standing here waiting for them to go, I decided what I should do.
What is that?
I hear that Captain Hardy is at home at the manor house at Possum. Well, as soon as the fleet is refitted, he'll be putting out again with Admiral Nelson, who's determined to find the French.
What of it?
I'll go and speak with him and see if he'll take me as a volunteer aboard the Victory.
You'll not leave us.
It's my duty to go. The war will soon be over. Once Nelson's found the French fleet and taught him a lesson, that'll be the end of it.
When shall you see Captain Hardy?
I go there now.
Now?
The sooner done, the better.
Jack, I've bought you a farewell present.
Oh. So, it's settled then?
It is. The Victory sails tomorrow. So I've bought you something that you will value, and which I have no further use for.
Oh. Thank you, Bob. What is it?
It's a young woman's lock of hair.
Black?
Yes, black enough.
Whose?
Why, Matilda's.
Oh, Matilda's.
Well, whose did you think then? Jack, you are a good fellow. Now I see it all.
Oh, no, that's
now,
nothing.
You've been pretending that you care for this woman that I mightn't blame myself for heaving you out from the other, which is what I've done without knowing it.
What does it matter?
But it does matter. I've been making you unhappy all these weeks through my thoughtlessness.
You stick to her, Bob, and never mind me. She belongs to you. She loves you. I have no claim upon her, and she thinks nothing about me.
Well, she'll list to thee when I'm away, and... Well, then mind you take her. You've more right to her than I. You chose her when my mind was elsewhere, and you best deserve her. For I've never known you forget one woman while I forgot a dozen. Take her then if she'll come, and God bless both of ye.
He left without saying goodbye, Miller Loveday.
He was always us. You were never one for farewells and such like, were Bob.
Which way will the Victory pass?
By Portland.
I should much like to see her.
Oh, if she sailed tomorrow, you'd see her go by you from Portland Bill, where you'd take the carrier early to Budmouth. She'll pass within a few miles of there, sailing for Plymouth with the frigate Euryalus, then on to Spain.
Then I'll take the carrier and see if she goes by. Sir?
What is it, my dear?
Might I look through your telescope?
But you may. You can look for me, child, and tell me what you see. For my sight has gone off lately, and things one and all be but a November mist to me. And yet I fain would see today. I am looking for the Victory.
I also.
I was a sailor once. Now I have a son aboard her. He's one of three from these parts.
Who are the others?
Well, other than my son, Jim Cormick, there's the captain himself, Captain Hardy, and there's young Loveday from Overcombe. He has lately joined.
Then I shall look for you and tell you if I see anything.
Certainly, missus. What do you see?
I see a ship. A large ship with three masts.
Huh?
And three rows of guns along the side.
Huh?
And all her sails set.
I guessed as much.
And there is a little flag in front over her bowsprit.
The Jack?
And there's a large one flying at her stern.
The Ensign?
And a white one on her foretopmast.
That's the Admiral's flag. The flag of my Lord Nelson. What is her figurehead, my dear?
Oh, a coat of arms supported on this side by a sailor.
On the other side of that figure is a marine.
She's twisting around in a curious way. And her sails sink in like old sheets. and she shivers like a leaf on a tree.
She's in stays for the lab attack. That Marty knows every current about here, being a native.
Oh, and now I can see the other side. It is a soldier where the sailor was before. You're sure it's the Victory?
I am sure.
Now she's vanishing. But there is light twinkling in the cabin windows at the stern.
Then we see now what the enemy have seen but once. Well, it is a brave ship, and she carries brave men.
Now the Admiral's flag disappears. Already she's dropping over the horizon. Will they either go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters?
These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep.
Trumpet Major, how came you here?
I've been behind you a good while, but you never turn round.
Oh, sailor, here's your telescope. Thank you.
Thank you. Has she quite gone?
Quite gone.
No.
You've come from Budmouth?
I returned there today and heard that Lord Nelson had embarked, and I knew at once that they would sail immediately.
And was there a great crowd to see them go?
There was. The Admiral took his coffin on board with him, they say.
Oh, his coffin? Oh, something terrible then is meant by that. Oh, why would Bob go on that ship, doomed to destruction from the very beginning?
It was his determination to sail under Captain Hardy and under no one else.
My son, by your face you bring bad tidings. Yet we news of a great victory off Cape Trafalgar.
Oh, John, what have you heard?
There was a battle, certainly, and it seems the English were the victors.
Oh.
But Admiral Nelson was killed.
Oh.
And Captain Hardy alive, only by a miracle. His shoe buckle was carried off by a shot.
Oh.
And I fear there was heavy slaughter among the men of the Victory, which was in the thick of the action.
Do they name the killed and wounded?
There are lists, but only the officers. None for the ordinary seamen or marines.
So we cannot know what happened to Bob?
Not until the ship comes into harbour, no.
He's dead. Well, you must not say so. I know it. He should not have gone.
Don't give up hope yet, dearest Anne. We must await the return of the Victory.
Mr. Loveday! There be a sailor come on the Victory! Speak with him!
Use
him, Master Robert, sir!
Show him in! Show him in!
Oh, what can it be?
Come in, sir!
Maggie, I'm from aboard the Victory.
Yes, we heard. Now, what's your news?
My name's Jim Carnick, and your lad is alive and well.
Oh, thank God!
I've come from Spithead to Possum, and now I'm going on to Budmouth.
And Bob hasn't got a scratch?
Not a scratch.
Oh, Lord, afraid.
Oh, we heard afore that the Victory was near knocked to pieces.
Aye, you'd say so, but you could see her. God, her sides be battered like an old penny piece. Her shot be still sticking in her whales. And that's where it acts. Oh, you may swab with hot water and you may swab with cold, but there's the blood stains and there they'll bide.
We rather expected a letter from Bob before this.
Well, you must make allowances. The truth of it is he's engaged just now at Portsmouth, like a good many of the rest from our ship. It is a very nice young woman that he's a courting of, and I make no doubt she'll be an excellent wife for him.
Courting?
That's enough, Miller. Huh? Do you speak of Robert Loveday as courting a wife?
Oh, pardon me, miss. Your brother have his eyes on a wife, and he deserves one. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, not in the least. I'm interested, naturally. And what is she?
Oh, a very nice young master baker's daughter, Annie. A very wise choice of the young man's.
Oh, is she fair or dark?
Her hair is rather light.
Well, I like light hair. And her name?
Her name is Caroline.
We do not care for more just at this moment.
We do care for more. Tell it all, sailor. Well, that is a very pretty name, Caroline. When are they going to be married?
Oh, I don't know as how the day is settled, but from the rate the carton is scudding along at, I should say it won't be long.
But if you see him when you go back, give him my best wishes and say that I'm glad to hear he's making such good use of the first days of his escape from the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
John, you work well in the mill. It always seemed to me that you had more of a taste for it than your brother. Have you thought of leaving the army, settling down here, getting yourself a wife?
Well, I've thought of it, but it's not to be.
You know, you could win Maidy Ann if you put your mind to it.
Well, you can see how she still pines for Bob in spite of all he's done to her.
She thought too much of him. Tis plain she's lost him. The only way she'll get over him is for another to woo her. So if you could get her, my sonny, to think less of him and a bit more of thyself, it'd be a good thing for all.
Fairness to Bob before everything?
He hath forgot her, and there's an end to it.
She's not forgot him.
Well, think it over. You'd make her a better husband than ever he could.
You know he said that to me himself the last time we met.
Well, then what you wait for?
I'll write to him, Father. And ask him if he's really given her up, or if this Portsmouth girl is just another passing fancy.
You may write to him, but our Bob doesn't seem to have much of a hand for letters.
Then if he doesn't answer, I'll no longer feel bound to him.
Anne, have you ever in these last weeks thought of how it used to be between us?
Oh, John, you shouldn't begin that again. I'm almost another woman now.
Well, that's all the more reason why I should, isn't it?
Well, I don't quite see it like that.
You feel yourself quite free, don't you?
Quite free. But you are not.
What? Oh, you mean Miss Johnson? Well, surely you know that was all make-up.
I had an idea you were acting, but I wasn't sure.
It was never anything. I have thought over every side of it, and I'm at last sure that I don't wrong my brother. As far as he's concerned, we are both free, Anne. But if you cannot love me, liking will be well enough.
Dear John, you are so generous and good.
I'm not that. I fear I'm quite the opposite. It would be all gain to me, but you've not answered my question.
I cannot. Positively, I cannot, and I beg you to promise me not to speak of this for ever so long.
Very good. I will not worry you any more.
Oh, you need not have said worry. It isn't that.
Well, I am very blind and stupid. I've been hurting your heart all the time without knowing it. It is my fate, I suppose. Men who love women the very best always blunder and give more pain than those who love the less.
Well, no one loves me as well as you, John. Nobody in the world is as worthy to be loved, and yet I cannot love you rightly. But I do so feel for you that I will try as hard as I can to think about you.
Well, that is something. I may live in hope. You say I must not speak about it again for ever so long. How long?
Now, that's not fair.
I'm so glad, my honey, to see you and Jack together so often.
We're bound to see each other when the mill is whole for both of us.
Oh, now, you know what I mean. Oh, it would please me so, my dear little girl, if you could get to like him better than that weathercock master Bob. Now, can't you? Come now.
Oh, how you all beset me. Why would it please you so much?
John is as steady and staunch a fellow as ever blown a trumpet. And you be not indifferent, be you, my sweet? I saw you t'other day when that cuttle tipped over and he burnt himself in saving you from a scalding.
His hand will not be well for a long time. He thought not of himself at all.
But you think of him now, don't you, my dear?
Oh, I do indeed think of him quite differently.
I tell thee, John, now's thy chance. She as plain as said she loves you. Now suddenly you play cool with her. Well, that's not the way to win her. Don't you want to make her yours?
I love her dearly, but I can't, because of her, forget the only brother I've ever had, and whom I've loved ever since he were a baby.
Ah, but he's forgot her.
No, Father. I've had a letter from him, in which he says that his heart has now returned to its true anchor, and that he never really loved the young woman in Portsmouth, and that all his hopes of happiness lie with Anne. He also asked me, as a brother, to guide her back to him.
Well, what else can I do?
John, I'm so glad to see you. My walks have been sadly alone of late.
It's quite by accident that we meet. I thought you was at home.
Well, this used to be a favourite walk of mine. Have you been this way before?
I? A church once stood here.
Yes. I've often shaped it out in my mind. This must have been the altar.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people have been made man and wife just here in past times.
Yes. This field used to be a village, you know. My grandfather would call to mind when there were houses here. But the squire pulled them down because poor folk were an eyesore to him.
Do you know, John, what you once asked me to do?
Hmm? In what sort of way?
In the matter of my future life and yours.
I'm afraid I don't.
John Loveday.
I do remember.
Well, need I say more? Isn't it sufficient?
It would be sufficient, but...
Well, that summer you asked me 10 times if you asked me once. I'm older now, much more of a woman, you know. And my opinion has changed about some people, especially about one.
Oh, Anne. Yet I've been thinking that men of the military profession perhaps should not marry. You should be like St. Paul, you know.
By John! Pretending religion. It isn't that at all, is it? It's Bob.
Well, I have heard from him again. He's back once more and promoted lieutenant and appointed to a sloop that only cruises on our own coast, so he'll be at home on leave half his time, and he'll be a gentleman someday and worthy of you.
You know how it is between us.
But that was long ago.
I wish to hear no more of it.
But Anne...
No more. Do not speak of it. It is finished.
Oh, Anne. Dear Robert, I write these few lines to let you know that if you want Anne Garland, you must come at once, or she will be gone. Gone. Somebody else wants her, and she wants him. It is your last chance. Now, Bob, do the best you can for yourself. I've done all I can, but now's my work cut out, I'm telling.
I wouldn't have run such a risk for the world. But I didn't think there was any danger, knowing that you was taking care of and keeping my place warm for me. I didn't hurry myself, that's true, but think I, if I get this promotion I'm promised, I shall naturally have leave, and then I'll go and see them all. Gad, I shouldn't have been here now but for your letter.
Oh, you little think what risks you've run.
Whatever you do, Jack, don't say a word about this other girl.
Hmm?
Well, I suppose Anne never caught a capful of wind from that quarter.
She knows it all.
Knows? Oh, by George, then I'm ruined.
That's what I meant by saying it would be a hard battle for her.
Oh, I don't deserve that woman.
I thought as much myself. But it depends on how thou'st behave in the future.
John, I'll be a new man. I solemnly swear I'll never look at another woman with the thought of marrying her whilst that darling is free. It's a lucky thing that I'm slipped in on the quarterdeck. May help me with her, eh?
It may help with her mother. I don't think it'll make much difference with Anne.
Miss Anne, will you not let me help you?
No, thank you. I can manage by myself and would prefer to.
But I'm afraid the berries will stain your pretty hands.
I wear gloves.
Ah, if that's a plan I should never have thought. But I'm so fond of your mother's elderberry wine that I'd like to help. May I not?
Oh, very well, you may help me, but you're to take the next tree.
Do you know, this reminds me of the time when I used to be aloft, clinging to a yard not much bigger than this tree stem, in the mid-Atlantic. I'm thinking about you. I could see you in my fancy as plain as I see you now.
Me or some other woman?
No. I'll protest that I did not think of anybody but you all the time we were dropping down channel, all the time we were off Cadiz, all the time through battles and bombardments. I seem to see you in the smoke, and thinks I, if I go to Davy's locker, what will she do?
So you didn't think that when you landed after Trafalgar?
Well, now, that was a curious thing. You'll hardly believe it, but when a man is away from the woman he loves best in the port, the world, I mean, he can have a sort of temporary feeling for another without disturbing the old one, which flows along under the same as ever.
I can't believe it. I won't.
Oh, but dear Anne, you must try to forgive me, really. You must. I love you best than anybody in the wide, wide world. Try to forgive me. Come.
Oh, I don't like you, Bob. I don't. I did once, but I don't know. I can't. I can't. You've been very cruel to me.
I have been terribly bad, I know, but if you could only forgive me. I promise I'll never do anything to grieve you again. Do you forgive me, Anne?
No.
Very well, then. Now I know my doom. And whatever you hear of has happened to me, mind this, you cruel girl, that it's all your causing.
Oh, Bob, what do you mean? Oh, don't go like this.
You're driving me away from my home, depriving my father of both his sons. For John, as you know, is off to the peninsula to join Sir Arthur Weldon in his campaign. And I, too, shall go to fight, but this time I shall take no heed for my life.
Oh, Bob, why must you make it seem as if I have no heart? How can I bear it if I feel I'm sending you to your death? How can I forgive myself?
Then why won't you forgive me, dear Anne? Can't we make it up?
Well, if you promise not to frighten me again by making such dreadful threats, when I show you how badly you serve me...
I promise you, I'm yours obedient in anything.
Well, then, if you show good behavior for 6 months and show that you really have repented, then...
Then will you give me your pardon?
I will.
Ah, Anne, my dear, there you be. We feared that you'd miss John. He's come to say goodbye. Bob, there was a word I wanted to have with you about the mill.
Well, why, what about you?
Come this way, my dear, please.
Well, I would not have wished to have missed you. But I thought you were going to look in again before leaving.
No, I find I cannot. Goodbye.
John, I must tell you something. You were wise in not taking me at my word that day. I was greatly mistaken about myself. Gratitude is not love, though I wanted to make it so for a time. You don't call me thoughtless for what I did.
My dear Anne, don't let yourself be troubled. What happens is for the best. Soldiers are here today and there tomorrow. Who knows that you won't hear of my attentions to some Spanish maid before the month is out? Well, 'tis the way of us, you know. Oh, a soldier's heart is not worth a week's purchase. Goodbye.
Hi, John.
One word, brother.
Hmm?
It's all right, Jack, my dear fellow. She has today agreed to bestow her hand upon me at the end of 6 months.
Dear Bob, I'm happy for you. Be worthy of her.
Of course. Goodbye, Jack. Goodbye.
Come, my son. Let me kiss you goodbye. Come back safe to us soon.
The candle held by his father shed its waving light upon John's face and uniform, as, with a farewell smile, he turned on the doorstone backed by the black night. And in another moment, he had plunged into the darkness, the ring of his smart step dying away from the bridge, as he went off to blow his trumpet till silenced forever upon one of the bloody battlefields of Spain.
In The Trumpet Major by Thomas Hardy, dramatized by Michael Kittermaster, the part of John Loveday was played by Ian Holm, Bob by Gareth Thomas, and Anne by Rosalind Ayres. Miller Loveday, Christopher Benjamin, Mrs. Garland, Diana Bishop, Festus Derriman, Michael Atwell, Cripplestraw, Peter Woodfull, Matilda Johnson, Nicolette McKenzie, the old sailor, Anthony Jacobs, Jim Cornick, Peter Craze, with Anne Rosenfeld, David Ashford, Douglas Blackwell, David Cann, Michael Goldie, and Michael Harper. The trumpeters were from the band of the Blues and Royals. The songs were arranged by Mary Nash. The play was produced and directed by Jane Morgan.